This is Fresh Air. Nearly 10 years ago, readers of crime fiction met Kinsey Milhone this way. I'm a private investigator licensed by the state of California. I'm 32 years old, twice divorced, no kids. The day before yesterday, I killed someone, and the fact weighs heavily on my mind. Milhone was created by writer Sue Grafton. Since then, readers have followed Milhone's exploits through a series of novels based on the alphabet, beginning with A is for Alibi. Her latest novel is H is for Homicide. Kinsey Milhone is part of a growing breed of fictional female private eyes that have become very popular in a world formerly inhabited solely by men. I asked Grafton if she got into crime fiction as a way of challenging that world.
I was raised on hard-boiled private eye fiction. Raymond Chandler, Dashiell Hammett, Ross MacDonald, and some of the other male mystery writers like John D. MacDonald, Michelle Scott, Mickey Spillane. So when it came time to try my hand at the mystery, that was the form to which I gravitated. I felt so unqualified to do that kind of writing. I had to take 5 years to teach myself many of the basics. So when it came to designing the prime character, I thought, there is no way I'm going to make him male, because my ignorance was too profound. I thought, well, the one area in which I'm an expert is being female, so by golly, she's going to be female. And now it looks like I had, you know, did it with great calculation, but it's not true. It's pure self-defense.
You talk about the people that you read, I assume, as you were growing up. What brought you back to this kind of writing? Because I'll say for myself, I'm new to this. I didn't grow up reading this kind of... I was probably reading more the Nancy Drew while
yes,
you were reading Mickey Spillane.
Right. Well, I love the mystery novel. For starters, there is always a strong story. It's carefully structured with beginning, middle, and end. Usually from page one, you're off and running. Mm-hmm. I find it's a little difficult sometimes to read mainstream fiction, which is sometimes very out of focus. I'll be reading and I think, well, where is the muscle to this story? So I think particularly now when the reading public is so accustomed to the fast pace of television, there are many people who don't have that much time to read, and the mystery is a very nice sort of addiction.
And you choose your words then with this muscle that you're talking about.
I write with economy where possible, which is one of the things I learned writing in television. I learned how to do dialogue, I learned how to structure a story, and I learned how to get into a scene and get out of it. Mystery readers, I don't think, are interested in the long, tedious history of the world. They want to know what's going on, and they want to know it fast. So you learn to do that in fairly swift terms. It is disconcerting for people who are used to much more dense fiction to come to the mystery because it's so quick.
Who do you think Kinsey Milhone would be if she was written by a man?
Oh.
What parts of her do you think would be accentuated, desensuated?
Oh,
would she even look differently?
Possibly. I'm not sure how she looks since I tell these in a first-person narrative. We know certain things about her, but often I think people see her differently. Mm. I wonder if a male mystery writer would not emphasize her sexuality, for starters.
But she's sexy.
Yes, she is. But what I've observed is that male mystery writers are interested in demonstrating that their detective is desirable to women. Female writers want to demonstrate the competence of our main character, because I think that's what we're talking about. A woman who is a professional, she's competent, she's capable, and that's how she earns a living. So I personally don't talk much about her love life, except, of course, in G is for Gumshoe. But I really want to talk about the fact that she's out on those mean streets like the guys are.
Well, do you see her then as a kind of a feminist model for women? Is there something didactic here?
And I hope not. I have never taken a hardline feminist point of view, because to me that's propaganda. I'm interested in telling stories, and I would never distort the direction of a story in order to score political points. So I am somewhat at odds with some of the other mystery writers, because I'm not interested in being politically correct. for instance, there is sometimes objection to women being victims. And I try to be careful about that. I am not interested in promoting the notion of women as victims. But when you're laying out 26 storylines, certain percentage of the time, women will be victims.
I read that this character, Kinsey Millhone, came from a fantasy you had about murdering an ex-husband of yours, and you were apparently in a long-lasting, protracted custody fight.
Yes.
Can you expand on that provocative idea?
Oh, yes. Well, one of my theories about women is that we are not taught how to fight. And certainly when I was going through this very bitter, acrimonious divorce, I didn't have the faintest idea how to defend myself. As a result of that, because of my frustration, I would lie there thinking, is there no way to get this man out of my life? And in the dark of night, little schemes would come to me. Since I am myself such a law-abiding little bun, I knew I'd never get away with it. I just am not that kind. You know, I can tell fibs with the best of them, but breaking the law is just not in my nature.
Well, what did you have in mind for this ex-husband of yours?
Well, that became the plot of A is for Alibi. So what I came up with was the notion of the oleander, which is very common in California, and using that as a means of poisoning somebody.
Mystery writer Sue Grafton is my guest. Her newest Kinsey Millhone novel is called H is for Homicide. We'll talk more after this short break. This is Fresh Air. Mystery writer Sue Grafton is my guest. Both your parents were alcoholics.
Yes.
And what are some of your memories of growing up in an alcoholic household?
Well, I remember suffering a lot at the time. And I have done a lot of work to deal with that grief and that rage so that now I've kind of come out on the other side and I look back at it as a gift.
Really?
I see it was the perfect life for a writer. As odd as that sounds, I was raised with a great deal of freedom. Because my mother drank, she did not function like a normal parent. So I had a lot of freedom. In our family, we did a lot of reading, and there was not television, because I'm a very old person. We played. There was 10 kids in our neighborhood, and so I spent a lot of time outside of the house, because I didn't want to deal with her.
Nor, I would think, would you want to bring your friends
into
the house.
That's exactly right. There were many humiliations, and I have learned to view her with a great deal of compassion, but it took me a while. And a lot of that I worked out at the machine. I did it through writing. My father was a different sort of alcoholic. He did function. He would start his day with two jiggers of whiskey, but he practiced law. He went into court often with a snootful under his belt, as he used to say. Once she died, he sort of took over the function of full-blown alcoholic and married somebody who then got into codependent behavior with him. But it certainly taught me from an early age everything there is to know about human behavior. The children of alcoholics tend to be very observant because we are always gauging where we are in relationship to the world. So I can't think of a better way to learn how to be connected to the world, how to be disconnected, all those things.
You have described yourself as the mascot in the family.
Yes.
And that's really the language of addiction, talking about a kind of family system and how it functions. I assume the mascot is the cheerleader for the family.
Oh, I'm a spiritual cheerleader. I do that to this day. And actually, I fill the other function, too, which is the one they call the hero, the achiever who goes out in the world. So I sort of filled both slots. I have a sister who's older than I, and I think she suffered more. She came through first, and she took the brunt of it. I kind of tap dance my way through behind her, and I learned to maneuver out of the line of fire. They were not abusive people. I was never hit, and they cared for me as well as they could. So I did not come from a background of depravity or poverty. They were intellectual people. They were people who cared about the world. They just cared about early times. An old crow. And so I still have trouble with that. If I'm around somebody who smells of bourbon, I start backing up.
One thing I find interesting is that you killed off Kinsey, this is your character's parents, when she was five years old. And just the way this whole idea grew out of this revenge fantasy on your part against an ex-husband, I was wondering if you're trying to get revenge on your parents somehow.
In a way, that was a very deliberate choice on my part. I thought, I'm not going to write about Kinsey Millhone with a lovey, happy mommy-hubby trip at home. So I sort of nuked them early on, and truly there was a little piece of me going, let's just get this out of the way, because I don't have a way to portray happy family life. It always rings slightly false to me. And that's why at one point Kinsey says, you talk about dysfunctional families, I've never seen any other kind.
So you've never seen a happy family?
I have seen an occasional happy family. They are like aliens to me, and I observe them with great curiosity.
Not skepticism?
You trust it? No, when you see a truly happy family, they are a pleasure. One of the things I say, though, when I give talks is, what seems true to me is that nobody from a happy family ever amounts to much in this world. It is those of us who are driven out of childhood by unhappiness that I think we go out in the world and do things to make it better.
There's an organization called Sisters in Crime, founded by Sarah Paretsky. Are you a member? Is this?
No, I've been one of the lone holdouts, in part because I don't believe what they believe. I am too much of a renegade and too much of a rebel, but I don't see women as victims.
And they do?
I think they have seen women mystery writers as people who need special consideration, and certainly at the time that organization was formed, one of the things they were doing was keeping track of how many women were reviewed, and truly the numbers were skewed. I grant them that. But I have always tended to believe in the strength of the individual instead of the mass of humanity, and that's a difference in style. I think they have done some good things in this world, and certainly their intentions are wonderful. I personally am happier working off a different set of precepts, and so I've kept my distance.
I'm wondering how you got yourself into this whole alphabet habit for your titles, and if you regret that at all.
I lie awake at night wondering why I did such a thing to myself. It seemed like a good idea at the time.
The latest one, can I give the title away? Is that
okay? Sure.
It's I is for Innocent.
Yes. Always reserve the right. If I get to the end of the book and it has nothing to do with innocence, I'll make it I is for Iniquity or something else. But the working title is I is for Innocent.
And can you tell us anything about what's happening?
I'd prefer not, because sometimes I surprise myself. I've been known to take off in one direction, junk it, start again. And so I'm a little careful about talking about works in progress.
Writer Sue Grafton. H is for Homicide is the latest in Grafton's series of detective novels featuring Kinsey Millhone. This is Fresh Air.